Chapter 9. The ship website is far too large and busy for Stiles to go through everything by himself, so he recruits a few of the others to help. Danny, because he knows all the slang. Derek, because he doesn't have schoolwork he needs to be doing. And Erica, because she never does her schoolwork anyway, and having her there lightens up the otherwise sober mood. The forum's topics vary from humorous gaydar fails to much more serious, how, when, if to come out. There's at least 100 posts going back about 2 years. Stiles designates a set of topics for everyone and gives them Marcos and Peter's usernames, and they gather around the kitchen table with their laptops, or, in Danny's case, his iPad, and get to work. "Check this out," Stiles says, skimming through the coming out forum. "This one girl is saying that when her older sister came out last year, her parents threw her out of the house, and now she's terrified to say anything because she knows they'll throw her out too. What is wrong with people?" "They have the moral compasses of homing pigeons with magnets strapped to their backs," Danny suggests, while manfully resisting the urge to start banging his head against the table. "Magnets?" Erica asks, frowning. "Homing pigeons work by geomagnetism," Stiles says to her, somewhat absently. "Oh, there's Marcos again, telling her that it's okay to play along with what her parents want, at least until she's not dependent on them." "I guess that is one way to deal with it," Danny says. "But man, I think that would build a lot of hostility on both sides. But what the fuck do I know? My parents are awesome." He shakes his head a little and says, "That does imply that the whole conversion camp thing was an abject failure." "This was before that," Stiles says. "I'm in archives from about 6 months ago. As far as I can tell, Marcos never posted on the website after coming home. That may just be because his parents were monitoring his internet, though, not because of any actual sort of conversion success." "I'm betting he was just playing his parents if he already had that mindset beforehand," Danny says, as he absently skims through posts. "That shit just doesn't work, you know? Not really. It'd be like sending Scott to camp to make him gay. How well would that work?" "Dude, you're preaching to the choir here," Stiles says. Erica lets out a snort of laughter. "God, Peter was dirty," she says. "I would have liked him. Check this out. It's from the How to Keep Your Relationship Secret section. My advice is don't let your boyfriend call home while his dick is in your mouth." "You shouldn't do that anyway," Danny mumbles. "It makes conversations with parents awkward." "I know, right?" Erica says, and holds her hand up for a high five, which Danny gives her. "Maybe the boyfriend in question was just really bad at giving head?" Stiles suggests, and then begins to snigger. "Oh God, remember the time we... And then? Erica says, but can't finish the sentence because she's already laughing too hard. Derek glares at them over the top of his computer. "Oh my God, don't tell me about your sexcapades." Stiles bites his lip to try to stop laughing, clears his throat, and devotes his attention to the laptop. "Oh hey, here's one of the hecklers. You could just kill yourself and spare us all your queer drama. Nice." "Did Matt give us the real names for the band users?" Peter asks. "Does your dad want the real names?" "She gave us the IP addresses," Stiles says. "I don't think she actually ever bothered to track down who they were. She just banned them and had done. Frankly, I doubt any of the banned users are the culprits, but it's probably worth tracking them down just in case." Danny nods. "I should be able to track it to a physical address, unless it's changed." "Yeah, one thing at a time. First of all, we're looking for patterns. Hopefully someone both Peter and Marcos talk to a lot. Which is going to be tough. Peter hopped all over these damn boards, and Marcos didn't post very much." "Make a list of the people Marcos talked to," Derek suggests. "Then we can compare that list to the longer list of the people Peter talked to." Yeah, but let's try to limit it to regular conversations or particularly meaningful interaction, or else we'll be here all night, Styles says. Erica cackles again. Like sports aren't gay, a bunch of grown men chasing down little balls, waving their sticks in the air. Golf, Danny says. Or lacrosse, Styles says with a snort. Or hockey. Or baseball. We get the idea, Derek tells him. If that's what he thinks is a little ball, then he's in for some disappointment later in life, Danny points out. Yeah, well, he was definitely sexually active, Erica says. That or he watched a lot of porn. Both could be true, Danny says. Given the number of tips he's offering on how to fuck someone up the ass, I sure as hell hope he's got some actual experience, or his Dear Abby routine is a little uncalled for. Here, link me. I can tell you whether or not any of them are accurate, Denny says, and Erica laughs, but sends him a link. 5 minutes later, Denny says, yep, the guy knew what he was doing. Glad we've cleared that up, Derek grumbles. Hey, if Peter was sexually active, that's important, Styles says. It means he had sexual partners. They would be suspects. So if he says anything that could be considered even remotely identifying, send it to me. Hell, that alone could be a reason to kill him, if someone was trying to stay in the closet, but Peter inadvertently outed him. And then the guy went and killed Marcos because... Hey, I don't have all the answers, Styles says. Right now, I don't have any answers. I've just got theories. Fair enough, Derek says. He shakes his head and says, why did sports even come up? They were talking about stupid things their parents had said, Erica says. In Peter's case, they were trying to blame his gayness on the fact that he had quit sports when he was a kid. Apparently, he thought they were stupid. If sports keeps someone from being gay, I've got a lot to answer for, Denny says. Styles lets out a snort of agreement. Jesus, where do people get these ideas? Here's a girl saying that her parents won't let her get a haircut. A fucking haircut. Because, quote, they don't want her to look like a dyke. Styles starts snickering. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but I'm reminded of this thing I saw once where a woman asked, how can I tell if my son is gay? And someone went off on this thing about a baking soda volcano, and then at the end was like, if your son is too busy sucking cock to care, he might be gay. Oh, God, Denny says, laughing. You'll have to link to me. I'll send it to my parents. They'll think it's hilarious. That's it. I'm done, Erica declares. All this reading about sex is making me horny. Styles, fix it. Yes, ma'am, Styles says. Guys, you might want to... Move to a separate hemisphere? Derek asks, sounding grouchy. We're not nearly as loud as Scott and Allison. Danny just smirks and gets up, grabbing Derek by the forearm and hauling him to his feet. Come on, let's go out back and turn the stereo on. Loudly. Have fun, Styles says, trying to wave around Erica, who is crawling into his lap. And Derek just shakes his head as he departs. But there's a fond little smile on his face. Wow, that looks exciting, Logan says, rolling his eyes at the police reports that Veronica is poring over. Unless that's one of those funny collections of 911 calls because people ran out of beer and stuff, in which case I take it all back and you should share. It's police reports from Beacon Hills, Veronica says. Of course it is, Logan says, flopping into a chair. What else would it be? So I was down at Woody Goodman's office today. You wouldn't believe how much stuff has happened to Styles, Veronica says, interrupting without meaning to. I swear, it seems like half the reports from this town have his name on them somehow. And it's not just him either. All his friends pop up here and there. Not just big stuff like the shooting in the woods, either. Logan cracks open a can of soda and says, "Now must be when you tell me all about it." "It starts about 2 years ago," Veronica says, oblivious to his lack of enthusiasm. "While the murders that Peter Hale committed were going on, a 911 call to the local high school dance where Lydia Martin was injured. That's the same night Kate Argent was killed and Peter Hale disappeared." "Mm-hmm," Logan says, picking up Veronica's phone and looking to see what she's been up to. "Lydia's the redhead, right?" "Right," Veronica says. "Then, only a couple weeks later, is where Sheriff Stilinski was nearly killed. A couple weeks after that was when Gerard Argent was arrested for attempted murder, along with a couple of his friends. So all that seems to be a part of the same incident, right? And you can kind of write that off. Then, only about a month later, there's an arrest record for Roger Leahy." "Wow," Logan says. "So many connections. Who the fuck is that?" "That's Isaac's father," Veronica says. "He was arrested for assaulting an officer and resisting arrest." And this obviously ties back into Stiles' terrible, dark secrets. Logan says, "Speaking of which, someone sent a threatening video to Woody Goodman." "Then, everything is quiet for a few months, before the shooting in the woods. So Chris Argent, that's Allison's dad, had friends in from out of town, and they just happened to shoot at his daughter and a bunch of her friends. Which is weird, okay, but I guess I can buy it." Logan sighs and takes a drink of his soda, looking through the notes Veronica's been making. "Then, only a week later, there's a 911 call about an animal attack in the woods, and a guy named Tyrone O'Brien is killed," Veronica continues, "which wouldn't be weird except that he wasn't a resident of Beacon Hills either. Research shows his last known address was the same as Vivian Nazario, who was the person who was arrested in connection with the shooting and then released. And, get this, then she disappeared about a week later. Hasn't been heard of since." "But what does it all mean, dear?" Logan asks. He sits down at his computer and starts typing. "For the rest of the summer, things were quiet, you know? Just a few standard police reports here and there," Veronica says. "Then there's that whole lawsuit thing. Stiles is in a car accident in mid-October." "Dark forces at work," Logan agrees, nodding sagely. "Which looks like it was pretty serious, but Stiles was treated and released at the hospital without major injuries. Actually, there's a little blurb in the paper about it. He got some good press because his brakes failed and he decided to steer his Jeep off the road rather than risk hitting someone else." "And this is the kid you think is the bad guy," Logan says. "Then who should turn up in the police reports a week later but Danny Mahalani, who fell off the balcony of his house while he was trying to do a backflip and was also treated and released." "Wow, you are really reaching now." "Really? He fell from the third floor. You'd think he would have had serious injuries." "Whatever happened to the werewolf theory? I liked the werewolf theory." "Logan, be serious," Veronica says impatiently. She feels annoyed at herself for ever even considering that possibility. The violence on the beach had bothered her more than she wants to admit, and it had really affected her judgment. "Werewolves aren't real. I'm trying to get some actual work done." "On the topic of work, Woody Goodman is going to be looking for a new intern soon if he doesn't stop giving me manly shoulder squeezes. Dude seriously needs to learn about boundaries." "Logan, focus. This is important," Veronica says, and Logan throws his hands up in the air in defeat. "Here's where things get really weird. Towards the middle of November, there was this huge slew of police reports. I guess there was some contagious virus going around that caused episodes of pain and blackout. So there's all these reports of car accidents and a ton of 911 calls about people collapsing on the streets and people trying to steal oxycodone from pharmacies and stuff." "Okay. And what fascinating police reports do Stiles and his friends have?" "None," Veronica says. "Not one of them is mentioned this entire time. Isn't that weird? The one time it would make perfect sense for them to crop up in the police reports, they're all conspicuously absent. Logan sighs and continues leafing through the website he's looking at. Anything else? About a week later, Adrian Harris drops his lawsuit against Sheriff Stilinski, and he doesn't do it quietly either. There's a lot of fanfare and a public apology. There's a picture of the guy giving a statement, and he looks like crap. It makes me wonder if he got pressured into it somehow. You know, back when you first looked up the lawsuit, you said he seemed like a complete douchebag. Yeah, and douchebags aren't known for admitting they were wrong and issuing public apologies. Touché, Logan says. Anything else? It gets quiet after that for a while. One report of gunfire at the Argent household in June, and that's it. Okay, Logan spins around. So if I told you that I had solved one of the mysteries for you, would you actually let me finish telling you about my day as Woody Goodman's intern? Veronica's eyes narrow. Which mystery? Logan looks at her. Really, Veronica? She sighs. Okay, I'm sorry. I guess I have some tunnel vision today. She abandons her computer and walks over to settle in his lap. Tell me about your day. Woody is a sleazeball and his secretary has no sense of humor, Logan says. Seriously, she didn't think my "the Bible burned my hand" joke was funny at all. I was going through the incorporation mail to sort into pro and con. My boyfriend was sorting mail. Veronica asks. Nope, can't picture it. He gives her a kiss on the cheek. And someone sent Woody this creepy video of the inside of his house while they were sitting there eating dinner. He asked your dad to look into it. There, story told. Was that so hard? I'm sorry, Veronica says, resting her head against his shoulder. You know how I get when I have a mystery. Yeah, I just wish I knew what the hell you're actually trying to solve, Logan says. He spins around so they're facing his computer. Okay, these paintings of Derek you're talking about? I'd seen them before. My mom... His voice falters a little, as it often does when he talks about his mother. She left me her art collection, remember? She used to take me to museums on the weekend, drive down to San Diego or up to L.A. So these pictures of Stiles and the wolves, they're his friends, see? He pulls up one of the most recent paintings, with 9 wolves in it. That big dark one there must be Derek himself. You've got a blondish one, that's Erica. A reddish one, that's Lydia. The brown curly one is probably Isaac. The darker brown, kind of compact one, is probably Scott. These two other dark ones, I'm not sure about. They're Boyd and Danny, but I don't know which one's which. And the cream-colored one is Allison. Max says that's actually a wolf dog, not a wolf, Veronica says. Logan gives a little shrug. It gets crazier. If you go back to the earlier ones, he actually adds in the wolves as they make friends with Stiles. I looked through your notes. In the beginning, it's just Lydia, Allison, Derek, and Scott. The next one has Isaac in it. That one came out right after that police report you were talking about, where his dad was arrested. Maybe that's how they got to know him. Erica's added during the spring, then Boyd in the summer, and Danny the next autumn, around the time he fell from his balcony. Veronica purses her lips. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that Derek likes to paint his boyfriend and his friends. Logan says, that's it. That's what it means. As wolves. Why is that any weirder than Vincent van Gogh's sunflowers? Or melting clocks? Or cubism? It's fucking art, Veronica. It doesn't have to make sense. But it doesn't have to mean anything either. Veronica sighs. Okay, fine. But I still think it's weird that Peter Hale and Vivian Nazario both completely disappeared from Beacon Hills without a trace. And I want to know what happened to them. Okay, Logan says. At least that's an honest-to-God mystery you can try to solve. I support you 100%. What's our next move? I'm thinking I'm going to drive up to Beacon Hills this weekend, Veronica says. See if I can find anyone who can give me some answers. This weekend? Logan asks. I have to work at Goodman's office. I'll be fine, Veronica says. I'll be careful, I promise. The news isn't as good as it could be, although Stiles supposes that it isn't all bad either. There were only two people on the ship website that both Marcos and Peter talked to regularly. One seems to be a friend of Peter's that he joked around with a lot, and sometimes Marcos would join in. Another was a girl who was having a lot of trouble with depression and suicidal thoughts, that they both regularly comforted. Stiles doesn't know who either of them are, and it doesn't seem likely that either of them would have had any reason to kill Peter and Marcos, but he gives the usernames to his father regardless, so he can try to track them down. If nothing else, the girl needs psychological help. Hopefully this will help her get it. Danny uses the IP addresses to track down three of the hecklers, who were harder to get rid of, and they give that information to Sheriff Stilinski as well. In Stiles' mind, those are the better bet, but he still isn't 100% sure of the theory. It seems like there must be some larger connection that they're missing. But beyond the ship website, Peter and Marcos had nothing in common. None of his contacts are familiar with any sort of supernatural creature that might make a cut on the back of someone's neck. Deaton can think of several reasons why someone might, and sends them over. But other than that, Stiles comes up blank. Ravender says it looks vaguely familiar, but can't place it, and says he'll let Stiles know if he remembers what it might be from. Either way, that's not a confirmation that it's a supernatural creature. With all of that a dead end, he turns to a different problem. Veronica. While her friends are still being just as friendly as ever, she hasn't spoken to him in days. Whenever she looks at him, he can see the unease in her eyes. He can't smell it, but the rest of the pack can. It bothers him because he was starting to think of her as a friend, a good friend. The kind of friend he might actually invite into the pack someday, if he could break the news of the supernatural to her without breaking her. She's smart and funny and someone who understands him. Maybe I should just try talking to her, he says to Derek, who shrugs a little, because talking to people isn't really his forte. So he finds her the next day at school, while she's at her locker between classes, chatting with Logan. He isn't sure he wants to have the conversation in front of Logan, but then again, Veronica is rarely by herself. If he wants to get her alone, he might be waiting another week. Hey, he says, walking up to her with Derek trailing behind on his leash. Veronica smiles at him, a smile that's a little too bright to be anything but forced. Hi, she says. You've been avoiding me, he says. Guilty, she says, with a little wince. Mind if I ask why? Veronica sighs. I'm sorry, it's just the fight. I'm not good with violence. Not after what happened with Lily, and with Aaron Eccles that night. It's a reasonable response, and that makes him hate it even more. He also notices that Logan is arching his eyebrows at her, as if to say, oh, really? Look, I'm sorry if that freaked you out, Stiles says. Maybe I took it a little too far. I was just trying to make a point. That it's a bad idea to mess with me. Remember what I said the first day we met? That I don't back down if trouble comes looking for me. It's more than that, Logan says, casually leaning against the locker. Your eyes did this weird thing and turned all red, and now she thinks you're demonically possessed. Veronica gives Logan a look like she wants to skin him. Whoa, did they? Stiles asks, covering his surprise with fake excitement. Cool, did you get it on film? Yeah, actually, Veronica says. She takes out her phone and goes into her photos, pulling up the still she's made of the frame where Stiles' eyes turned crimson. She holds it out for him to see. So? That's neat, Stiles says. Some weird trick of the firelight, maybe? Yeah, Veronica says, tucking her phone away. That's what everyone seems to think. When you come up with a better explanation, you let me know, Stiles says casually. I'll do that, she says. Challenge accepted, Logan declares. To Stiles, he adds, look, whatever crimes you've committed in the past, thought about committing, are planning to commit in the future, have perpetrated in a past life, or will inflict upon others in a future life, just confess now, because I'd like to get laid again before this life is over. Stiles lets out a snort of laughter. I'm sorry if I'm negatively affecting your sex life. He turns to Veronica and says, let's make a deal. Tell me what you really want to know. Ask me one question, any question. I will either answer it honestly or just refuse to answer. I swear I won't lie to you. If I can answer it, you'll let this go. If I can't, we'll go our separate ways and I won't bother you again. Deal? Veronica narrows her eyes and then nods. Deal. Shoot. What really happened to Peter Hale? Stiles studies her for a few minutes, then gives a little nod and says, it's been fun, Veronica. Then he turns and walks away.